I'm going to try to do my best in terms of like, you know, I really, one of the passions that I have is I really want people to understand God's mission on earth. Jessica talked a little bit about that, you know, like, and some of the things, the whole prodigal son, seeking and saving the lost. I mean, that's truly God's mission for us, His church. Last week, I was talking to you about understanding our God-given mission. He already gave us a mission to accomplish. And today, I just want to expand on what I talked about last week. You see, I truly believe if we wish to understand God's mission, if we truly wish to understand what we're here for, all we have to look is take a look at Jesus. Because He was all about mission. He was all about fulfilling His mission. And if we want to grasp what it is that we're supposed to be doing as a church, look at Jesus. Because he modeled for us what it means to be a kingdom individual, what it means to be a kingdom person. Last week, we talked about how Jesus began calling people to Himself. And we addressed the issue that discipleship is a call to everyone. The call to discipleship. Jesus Christ wants disciples from all nation, tribe, and tongues. And that's what you see in the book of Revelation. Jesus' final words, according to Matthew, is go and make disciples, multiply yourselves, baptizing them and teaching them. So Jesus, when He began His ministry, when He was 30 years old, He began to preach, the kingdom of God is here. And then He began to appoint disciples. And we talked about last week, the first disciples of Jesus were fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And He said to them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. Yes, you are expert in fishing fish, but I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to teach you how to catch men. So we talked about last week that Jesus Christ calls people to follow them so they can learn from Jesus. And then He trains them how to go and reach out the world for Him. He calls you and I so that we learn from Him in how to catch people and how to reach people with the gospel message. In the passage we're going to be looking at today, it's going to be in Luke chapter 5, verse 27 through 32. You got your Bibles? Go there. We're going to spend some time. We're going to see another disciple that Jesus called. An unusual disciple, by the way, because if we go back into that culture that day, the person that Jesus selected to be a disciple, no other Jewish rabbi would have ever selected him. Because this man was considered an outcast in the society, an extortionist. He was considered bad by society. And why would you, in your right mind, want to select somebody known as a tax collector back in those days? Jesus selected fishermen, ordinary people, and then He selected somebody else that you kind of scratch your head. It's like, really? Why Matthew? Why Levi? Jesus, what are you thinking? But He gives an example why He selected people like Matthew. And so you got your Bible with us in Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. Matthew's name used to be Levi. So you have your Bible, a title said, The Call of Levi. Luke 5, says 27, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow Me, Jesus said to him, and Levi got up and left everything and followed Him. Remember last week, the disciples, the fishermen, they left everything. They left their nets, their father, they left their job, followed Jesus. Here's another example. This tax collector, he left everything and followed Jesus. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the scribes, who belonged to their sect, complained to His disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need the doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." My friends, Jesus was considered a defiant. Jesus was considered a rebel by the religious people of the day. Jesus Christ was considered a rebel because He rebelled against the culture. He rebelled against the religion. My friends, Jesus never wanted to create a religion. Jesus never was about religion. He was all about developing a relationship with God so that people get to know God without religion. There's so many religions already in the world, and some of them don't even lead you to God. Jesus was like, you become His followers so that you know already what it means to know God and to know Him. So he was, Jesus was always in trouble with the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and the Sadducees. All the religions of that day, Jesus himself got in trouble with them because he did not fit the religious norms. See, Jesus Christ did things that they will go against the Pharisees' laws. For instance, selecting a tax collector to be a disciple. No Jewish rabbi in the right mind will ever do that. But Jesus did it. Hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. Talking to women like the Samaritan woman. I mean, even the disciples had had trouble with that. Prostitutes would come to Jesus because they were in desperation. They wanted a different way. And Jesus would talk to them. The only rabbi ever that you would see 2,000 years ago welcoming everybody was Jesus Christ. The Pharisees, the word means the righteous ones. Because for them, even how they dressed, they had to be distinct. But they would not associate with people that were considered outcasts or the rejects of society. Jesus Christ would. So therefore, he got in trouble. My friends, every time you read the gospel, I always tell students of the Bible, pay attention. When the Pharisees are mad, there's always lessons to learn right there. They always get mad at Jesus. And so Jesus then tells them why he does what he did. Jesus Christ, my friend, he was intentional about hanging out with people. And he's asking you and I to also be intentional about being with those that the world rejects. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders, the religious elite of that day, they missed the point about Jesus. And my friends, I don't want you to miss the point about Jesus. That's why I'm doing this sermon today. When you look at Jesus, please don't miss the point about his mission. He was always about mission. They missed the point. They just got angry that he hung out with people. He selected Levi to be a follower. Are you kidding me? That man is hated. Besides, the Jews did not like tax collectors because the Romans were in charge. And if you were a Jewish individual, why would you collect taxes from the enemy? You're working for the enemy. So the Jewish people, you know, I always think about, If we had a chance to look at what the interaction among the disciples, I guarantee you, the apostles, Simon the Zealot will have a trouble that Matthew joined the gang. It's like, why is he here? I mean, a tax collector with us? You know, and so you see through the gospel, why is it that the disciples, the apostles, always got into like this argument? You wonder why? Because they have different attitudes. They come from different backgrounds. And, you know, sometimes they were arguing who was the greatest. And Jesus had to tell him, you want to be great? Be like that child. And so, you see, they didn't get it all together. Like some people think, like Jessica was talking about, like sometimes, oh, you have to be in the right position to come to Christ. You have to be clean before you come. No, Jesus wants you to come dirty. He wants you to come where you are. And I promise you, you'll never be the same when you come. So he didn't go, let me check out Matthew's credential. No, he just like, hey, follow me. And I'm going to show you what following Jesus is all about. So he got up from the booth. I guarantee you, Matthew already been hearing about Jesus. Perhaps Jesus crossed and walking as a preacher throughout the Galilean desert and throughout the city. Perhaps Matthew got to hear about who Jesus was. And finally, Jesus Christ, the one that you heard about, say to you, follow me. And Matthew did not even think it twice. He got up, left the tax booth, and began to follow Jesus to join. And later on, he became one of the apostles. That's what we're talking about. The call to be a disciple of Jesus is for everyone. I said, why would Jesus want to call someone like Levi? He gives us the answer here through our text. He, Matthew, or Levi, he also left his job to follow Jesus. And then what he did was amazing. He threw a party for Jesus. Look at the text again. 27, he saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting by the tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. We talked about last week, you recall, sometimes you might have to leave some things behind to follow Jesus. Sometimes it might be your career, your even family sometimes. You had to leave him behind to follow Jesus because while he's calling you, it's not going to be easy. You know, he's calling you out of the comfort zone. Sometimes I've seen people that have change jobs to follow Jesus because they realize if I keep this job, I'm not truly being truthful to him. And sometimes even our friends had to change him because following Jesus is required. Like, you got to stay away from those people because they're not going to be a good influence to you right now. Matthew left his job as a tax collector, and then he became a preacher because Jesus later on sent him to preach. Amazing. Jesus Christ can change somebody as a tax collector and he can make him into an evangelist. That's what he does. So he threw a party in the house, a banquet, and in that society, you ate with people who were like you. If you were high class, you would eat only with, you only associate with people who were high class. If you were poor, your people to hang out with were the poor people. You were tax collectors. Who do you think the best friends that you had were? Tax collectors. You know, lepers were with the lepers. So that was the society. You know, the Pharisees were always hang out with other religious people. They would not go outside of those walls. So you ate with people who were like you. You know, that was the society of those days. So Matthew threw a banquet for Jesus because he's so joyous. And then who did Matthew invite? All the tax collectors, his buddies. Hey, you know, come meet this man, Jesus. He's going to be at my house today. Come. So tax collectors and sinners, they all came. And they were drinking and celebrating right there. And Jesus and his apostles were also there. He says he threw a banquet, a feast. Let's read that verse again for you. Verse 29, Levi held a great banquet for Jesus in his house. And a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. Some translation would say they were reclining. That's how you ate over there. You know, in our society, we have tables, and you might be far away. The eating that took place was a table, almost like your coffee table at the house, and you're reclining, and you're rubbing shoulders with people. Jesus is doing that with Matthew and all the tax collectors. They never seen Jesus, but now they get the chance to hang out with a man over a meal. You see, Jesus Christ was intentional about hanging out with people like that. People that were reject of the society, the outcast. Verse 30, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they had a problem with this. The teachers of the law, or scribes who belong to the sect, complained to his disciples, to Jesus' disciples, why do you eat with and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Why do you go out of the norm? Why do you violate our laws of eating with people? You're eating with people that are not like you. You're not a tax collector. Why you hang out with them? You're hanging out with people that, you know, religious people in society would not even consider hanging out with them. Why are you doing that? Why are you violating the norms? Why are you going against the traditions of the people of those days? They're asking that question to the disciples of Jesus. Why do you eat with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus, of course, is going to answer that question. Remember, you ate with people who were like you. Who's in the house? Fishermen. Fishermen will eat with fishermen. There's James and John and Peter and Andrew, and Matthew is the tax collector now, and then he invites all his friends, and then we got Jesus, a Jewish rabbi, a teacher. In that society, that's like, no. It's like, what's going on? Like, why are you doing things that are against the norm? You're rebelling against the pattern of society. You know, that's what Jesus was considered a rebel, a defiant by the religious leaders, because he's doing things that, and again, why is Jesus, the question is, why is Jesus doing that? Because he has a reason. He will tell us. And I think when we pay attention to Jesus, we know what he's asking us to do as well, even in our own society. So that's the complaint of the Pharisees. I mean, every time you hear the Pharisees mad, there's something. I mean, they always got mad at Jesus because he did things that were against. He would touch the lepers. Why would you touch people that will make you Jesus would do things that they would normally not do. So the teachers of the law, Pharisees, their name means the righteous ones. The Pharisees were people that believe in the resurrection. They believe in angels and demons. They believe in the afterlife. The Sadducees did not believe in angels and demons. They did not believe in the soul of the afterlife. They were the religious people of that society. And so here we have Jesus. And we have these religious people complaining because Jesus decides and chooses to hang out with tax collectors and sinners. It's like saying, why would you want to hang out with those people? You know, we always have those people in society that it's like, you don't want to even be around them. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's just like, that's them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even want, if they come in this way, I cross the other way. I don't even want to be seen near those people. So whatever those people might be for you, just translate what we're talking about today. The reject of society. Those people you don't want to be near. You don't want to be seen near them. Jesus breaking walls here. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus was even accused of drunkard because he associated with tax collectors and sinners. And yes, at a party, when you attended a party in the first century, there was going to be wine there. And so you drinking with those people. Why would you want to do that? Jesus gives the answer to that question. Here it is what he says. Verse 31. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. It is not the healthy who need a doctor. They, in a sense, they're sick and they don't even know. Sick spiritually, and I came for them. Whoever's righteous, go back to the parable of the 99. I left the righteous one, but this one that's lost, he doesn't even know it. I go after that one. So Jesus here says, the reason I hang out with these people, they're lost. They don't even know it. They're lost spiritually. They're really sick spiritually. And that's why I'm here. The healthy don't need a doctor. The sick do. I have come not to call righteous people, but I came to call sinners to repentance. That's the reason Jesus decided to hang out with tax collectors and sinners, because they need Jesus. They need him. You see, my friends, we do have a problem. We have a sin problem in our society. And you see that every day. All you got to do is turn on the news. I know the shooting happened somewhere there. And somebody bombed. I mean, all over the place. You wonder, what is the root of all that? The root of all that, I give it to you plainly, sin. Sin means violation against God's laws. It means that, you know, you go against God's will. That's what sin is. Rebellion against God. So we try to come up with all kinds of laws, trying to make the life better. But until we deal with the root of that problem, more shooting will going to happen tomorrow. More things are going to happen because we have a sin issue that people don't want to deal with. And it starts in our hearts. You know, we got discrimination against races and things like that. Why do you think that's happening? Because we have a sin problem and we do not want to acknowledge it, people. And Jesus Christ came to show us a better way. But we already kicked him out of school. And then we wonder why shooting is happening. We already kicked him out of, you know, places where he can do, create an impact. And we wonder what's going on with our nation. What's wrong with the world, mama? Black Eyed Peas says, people living like they have no mama. And that's true. And they ask the question, where is the love, y'all? And you wonder why. I mean, the love is God's love. And if we just did, man, I always challenge people. If we just did the Ten Commandments, man, life would be better. Just the Ten. Just Ten Commandments. If we just pay attention to those Ten, man. But we want to go the other way. That's why the prayer, your kingdom come and your will be done, is so relevant even to this day. Because, you know, God's will is not be done on earth. So Jesus knows that they're sinful individuals. He came for us. We do have a sin problem. You see, my friend, sin is what took Jesus to the cross. Sin is what killed Jesus. He died because of our sinful attitude, our sinful nature. He died to transform us from sins, from sinners into saints. Sin is what led Jesus to the cross. The wages of sin is death, the Bible talks about. He died to save sinners, Paul says, of whom I am the worst. It's sin that made Jesus to come to earth, to live among us, to show us a better way, to redeem us, to buy us from the penalty and the agony and the guilt of sin so we can have a better life of transformation and service to him. Sin is the root of all the problems we face in our society. And Jesus is calling sinners to change their ways. He said, I did not come to call righteous people, but I came to call sinners to repentance. Repentance is another word that says change your ways. Do a 180, change. You were going that way. Repentance is not just that you turn. You go all the opposite. You go the opposite way, 180. Repentance means you feel sorry for what you've done. The Bible says that we all sinful individuals. We all sin. You and I cannot even look at God in the face in our own condition, because we're not as good as you think we are. One way or another, we violated God's law. In our society, we think, oh, because you are good people and the good is going to outweigh the bad. No, that's not even in the Bible. We all sinful individuals, because you and I are post-Eden. We are already born in this world that's falling. As beautiful as our planet is, it's falling. The Bible says that the earth is groaning because it wants to be liberated. What do you think we have, like, volcanoes and things happening and popping up all over the world? Because nature is groaning. Nature wants to be liberated. And the only way that nature's going to be liberated is Revelation 21. John sees a new world, a new heavens, where there's no more issues that we're going to be dealing with. But in the meantime, you and I are born into that planet, which means we're going to deal with the consequences of being here. Sometimes, you know, why is God allowing that? I mean, yes, because you live there. It's a fallen world. You're going to have bad issues. You're going to have bad things happening to you. Good people are going to be victims of bad crimes. We live in this society. That's why we need a redeemer. We need a savior to come and say, you know what? I'm going to deal with this. And that's why Jesus Christ came, calling sinners to redeem us from the penalty and the agony of sin. That's what he does. But we had to receive him. We had to embrace him. You see, that's why Jesus associated himself with tax collectors, prostitutes, and sinners, because he was pursuing them. Because he realized, the way you go and you're lost, I got to show you a better way. He said in John 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So he's pursuing you and I relentlessly. Like the song we sing, it doesn't matter how big the mountain is, he's going to climb it for you. Doesn't matter how tough the desert is, he's going to go because he's after you. That's how much God loves you. He realized we have a sin problem, but he came to deal with our sins. Like Angie talked about in the meditation, he forgave our sins past, present, and future. He says, you don't have to spend eternity without me. I love you this much. That's why he hung out with those people that nobody else decided to hang out with. That's why he went after them. I came not to call righteous people, but sinners to repentance, to change their ways. My friends, the church today, we need a tune-up. We need a tune-up in our attitudes toward sinners. We're all sinners. The only difference between us and the world is that we have Jesus, and God looks at us because we got Jesus in our midst as innocent. But other than that, we're sinners like the rest of the world. We fall short of the glory of God. It's only by Christ sacrifice that you and I can even be at peace with God. We are being reconciled. There's a lot of people in the world that have not been reconciled. It's going to be our job to rearrange their meeting with Jesus. Church, we need a tune-up in our attitude against people, against loss. We need a tune-up in our attitude against hanging out with people who do not go to the same churches we go to, who do not believe the same things that we believe to. We need a tune-up. We need Jesus to come and tune us up. You know what a tune-up is? When your car is having issue, we got mechanics in the house, you usually had to get a tune-up because the car might break down eventually because you neglected to tune it up. So we all need that in our own attitude against outcasts, people that are not like us, people that don't even talk like we do, and people that are, you know, different from us, because Jesus wants them too. We need to make a conscious effort to be in their midst, to show them God's grace and love. Jesus Christ was intentional about hanging out with them. You and I had to be intentional. And I will challenge you even more, because guess what? Whether you want to be intentional or not, wherever you work, not everybody there believes the same thing you believe. You're already there. So all you have to do eventually is like, okay, I got to be Jesus in this environment where I am. This man had a great book entitled Breaking the Discipleship Code. David Putman, he said, we're going to have to leave the comfort of our own secure environment and plant our lives among people outside our churches and religious cultures. Doing so is what being missional is all about. Perhaps this best explains why Jesus' Great Commission includes going and making disciples. The church must never forget that we are here to fulfill Christ's mission. And Christ's mission is around you. It's all over the place. It's to seek and save the lost, to go after sinners that need repentance. I mean, the Bible tells you so many glimpses about God's mission to reconcile the world. You want to know what you are here? You are an agent of reconciliation. You want to know what God places you here on that particular city, wherever you are? Because you are there to make disciples, to rearrange meetings for people in where meetings that they can become followers, and not just followers, but later on going to maturity to become true disciples of Jesus, disciples that make disciples that make disciples, and pretty soon we got this ripple effect. Jesus Christ changed the world just with 12 men. And he had thousands of churches today, but sometimes we don't get it as churches because we think that churches is just to be us in our comfort zone right here. And it's not just about us people. Christ did not die so you and I can just come and sing songs in here. He died so you and I can be encouraged to one another to go out, because this is not even our mission field here. Our mission field is the moment you step away from these four walls, now you enter that mission field. And now you are to be Jesus, to be consistent with people. I went to a softball game yesterday. And then after the end, I'm just talking, I'm going to my car, and this guy said, you know, like he's having problem with in his marriage. He's just newlywed. And he said, I talk to you later. Christ always brings the opportunity. There it is. You know, my job is, I don't want you to get divorced. I want to do everything in my power so I can help you. How can I help you? How can I bring reconciliation here? Because God places me here to be an agent of reconciliation. You know, there's so many people, I mean, families that don't get along with each other. And Jesus Christ is no longer walking on earth physically, but he is walking still, because he has you there and he has me. That's what our mission is, people. Because he did not come to call righteous but sinners to repentance. There's so many things in this world, and they are in need of Jesus, and they don't even know it. And then as you go, as you're traveling, you see that, you hear the glimpses, you hear people, the hurt, the pain, the agony, and you are there to be Jesus. Jesus Christ had compassion on people unbelievably. He says that when he saw the crowd, he hurt in Jesus' heart. He said he had compassion on people because he looked at them and they looked harassed and perplexed, like sheep without a shepherd. We have friends that are like lost, like that one sheep. And Jesus has you there to be his friend or her friend, to rearrange a meeting between your friend and Jesus. Somebody say evangelism is one friend telling another friend about the friend. Or one sinner telling another sinner where to find grace. Evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar, hey, I just found bread. You want some? That's what all it takes sometimes. You know, for you to be ready and available. But we have to be intentional. Jesus Christ was intentional. Sometimes some of us, what we do is like, oh, they're going to ask me a question. And they, you know, if we still have not learned to be ambassador for Christ, then attend our Bible study, because our job is to train you to, so that you can just be unleashed into the society where you live to transform the world for the Lord. The church must never forget that our mission is the same as it was 2,000 years, the same mission that Jesus Christ had to seek and save the lost. That's why the church exists. Sometimes churches go through like, what's our mission statement? If your mission statement doesn't reflect going to seek the lost, you got to change it then. The church is to exist, is to seek and save people, to preach the gospel so that they can transform. Otherwise, you don't have a church. You might have a club, but it ain't the church, because the church is to be here to make disciples, to transform people, to be agents of reconciliation. Jesus still in the business of pursuing people. It's amazing. 2,000 years ago, he told people, go, change the world for me. He's still in the business of pursuing sinners, to save them, but not just saving them, to transform their lives so that they too can go and bring others to the saving grace of God. Levi's life was never the same. I mean, this man, from a tax collector, he became a follower of Jesus. For 3 years, he hanged out with Jesus. And then later on, he decided, you know what? I want people to know about this Jesus. And he wrote a book. We even have that book in the Bible. It's called The Gospel According to Levi, The Gospel According to Matthew. And if you read his gospel, he's infatuated. He's like obsessed with the kingdom of God. Like he wants people to understand what the kingdom of God is all about. That's Matthew. I mean, amazing. From a tax collector to being a writer of a volume that depicts, portrays the life of Jesus. Doesn't get better than that. Jesus Christ is still in the business of pursuing sinners. He pursued you. He pursued me. And there's so many others that he's pursuing still through you and I as the hands and feet of Jesus. Our life will never be the same once we get to know the Savior. And God will use you and I to make an impact in this world. Jesus is no longer walking physically on earth. He's no longer walking in the desert of the Galilean, in the Sea of Galilee and Judean desert. He's no longer walking. But he is walking in a sense. Jesus Christ is still walking the streets of New York City and everywhere in the world. You know how? Through people, through ambassadors that he has placed you and I here. He does it through his church. it is our duty, our job, to bring the message of reconciliation to the world. That is, there's no other plan B. Paul says that in Ephesians 3:10. He says that now it's going to be through the church. God's no longer going to send prophets and angels and do things, you know, like he used to. He's sending you and I. As the Father sent me, so send I you. I'm sending you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Go and transform the world. Preach the gospel to all creation, he said. You see, I know where Jesus Christ is today. He might be sitting at a pew at a church, getting ready to go eat lunch at a buffet somewhere. Jesus Christ might be riding the train today, getting ready to wait for the flight because he's about to travel somewhere. Jesus Christ is about to go to the grocery store after the service today. He's all over the place. How? Because the church, you and I, are his hands and feet. Where you go, you are almost like an incarnation of Jesus Christ. People see Jesus through us because there you are as a representative of Jesus. You know, like the president, he doesn't have to go everywhere, but he sends people on his behalf. The same way Jesus Christ has sent you and I to be his ambassadors, his emissaries, his representatives to reach the world for him. Have you seen him lately? Will people see Jesus through us as we go? How we communicate, how we talk. Do you sense Jesus even through the pages of Facebook? Because sometimes I'm concerned with some Christians, the way I see some of the language on Facebook. And I think like maybe we need a tune-up from Jesus, even how we communicate things. I mean, even you want to communicate a truth, why do you have to use language that are not known for being a follower of Christ? You know, but like even there, can people see Jesus through what we post on Facebook? I just want to give you that one out there. Because sometimes all I see is more politics than Jesus. Or more, if we are to represent him, would you say that would people notice that you're even a Christian because of what you say or what you post, what you are against or what you're for? Can they see Jesus in our protests, in the things that we do? Because if they can't, then we do have a problem. We are to be the hands and feet, like the song that they sing, Jesus Fellow Sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. And you know what breaks the heart of God? Lost people. People that need him. And, I mean, he loved them so much that he left 99 out there. You guys are good, but they need me. He went after that. You know, and then after he found that, he rejoiced, threw a party. It's like, that's the heart of God. And you and I don't have that. Somebody said, this preacher in Wisconsin said, when your heart merges with the heart of God, when your heart fuses with the heart of God, then you're going to have this passion just like Jesus had it. You're going to have this passion for lost people just like Jesus. Because I don't know about you, when you look at his heart, he was always for the outcast, those who needed them. And he had compassion. He's showing you and I how to have compassion on people that need Jesus desperately. So that's my prayer for all of us, that God will break our hearts to tune us up to be more like Jesus so that we go and reach the world for him. It's your job and our job, and God doesn't have a plan B. If we don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. But where you are an ambassador for Christ because you have friends that I will never be able to meet. And that's why Jesus has you over there, driving a car on the road with crazy people in New York City area. There you are to drive like Jesus. I know many of us sometimes forget that. I'm guilty of that too. You know, sometimes I forget about Jesus because I just want to chase somebody who just cut me off. But then somebody tells me, like, just let it go. And it's like, you know how we all act. But remember, it's good that we have people to remind you. Maybe Jesus would not be happy with you doing that right now. Maybe Jesus would just let that one go. You know, it's not even, you know, or maybe Jesus just say, hey, you know. So, because everywhere you go, you are his ambassador. You are his agent to call sinners to repentance. So, Father, I pray that you break our hearts for the things that will break yours.